But Luke chapter 22, verse number 31, and the Bible says, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, this has been on my heart for 3 weeks now. And Lord, I pray that you just help me to present this well, help me to present it the way you'd want it presented. And Father, I pray that you just help me be encouragement to the folks in here this morning. And I pray that we would, and myself included, all strive to do better at this. Lord, we love you, Lord. We thank you for your love for us. We pray that you just help us today, Lord, and guide us and help your word to be presented, help pastors he preaches later. And I pray that you just help the Sunday school teachers this morning as they teach. Lord, help me to only say what I ought to say this morning and nothing more, nothing less. And Lord, pray that you just receive the glory and honor for everything that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. It's very interesting here in Luke chapter 22, verse number 31. The Bible says, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, this is talking about Simon Peter, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. All right? And we see that in the life of Simon, and you would think if you looked at the life of Simon Peter, Simon failed a lot in life, okay? He was a failure. And we oftentimes, I think we're very judgmental of Simon Peter. But you have to understand that Simon Peter also did a lot for God. And but we see in Simon Peter that in some ways Satan ran him through his sifter, if you would. And Satan had really put a lot of pressure on Simon Peter. And this is the part of testimony I'd really like to go through. But start going to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll talk as you're going there. But Ephesians chapter 6. But 2 weeks ago, we were at the youth conference, and the Lord did something in my heart, and I know in my wife's heart, and I know he did a lot of things in a lot of people's hearts. And I think that they did some testimonies. I wasn't here that Sunday. But I think some of the things that was done that week wasn't things that was even talked about. And I don't know how to explain it. And I'm not going to even try to explain a lot of it, because most people don't even think that you're talking sensibly. They don't even think that you're talking logically, okay? But there was, on that week of the youth conference, there was a spiritual battle going on, okay? And pastors preached about the unseen world and the unseen creation and the visible, the invisible. Well, there was invisible stuff going on, but it also had visible repercussions. It was an invisible thing, but it had visible repercussions. And I think in my life that week, and I know in my wife's life, we really started to understand that the battle that we fight many times is not a physical battle. You can get mad at people, and you can get upset with people, but ultimately, it's not people that you're fighting against. It's the prince and the power of the air. Okay? Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. I'm not there yet. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11, or 10, verse number 10. The Bible says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not be strong in our might, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And, you know, many times we stop right there and we talk about the armor of God, don't we? All right? But look at verse number 18. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Brother Chad, what are you talking about? I want to basically talk and just challenge you this morning about the importance of prayer. And this is something, you know, I think sometimes as senior saints, and I get this undertone sometimes, it's like, well, what can we still do? We fought the physical battles, if you would, of starting this church, and we've given our lives for this church. And then sometimes it seems like, well, the next generation comes up and they kind of take over the responsibilities that, you know, somebody took my Sunday school class, and somebody took the position that I had, and somebody younger needs to do this because I just don't have the energy and I don't have the strength to do this. Well, that's true. And my generation does need to step up. My generation does need to take those things and put forth the energy and the strength of our youth. But I also want to challenge you this morning that, honestly, that is probably the smallest part of the battle that we fight. It is. The things that I do, the things that, you know, the physical things that we do around here, that's not really the battle that we are fighting as Christians. We don't, as Ephesians chapter 6, whatever verse it was, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And I think as my generation, so many times we see flesh and blood that we want to fight. And we have a failure in seeing the invisible creation, in seeing what is happening spiritually. We just get mad at people. We had some incidents on the youth trip, and I passed a reference to it that one time. We had some guys that was, you know, flirting with our girls, if you would, okay? And now our girls wouldn't give them the time of day. I mean, they would come up to them, they'd offer them candy or something, and they'd be like, go give it to my pastor. And they're like, oh, yeah, you go, girls, all right? And we had some come up to them, and finally I was just fed up with it. And this is where I was fighting flesh with flesh, okay? And there was a couple guys, and they were, you know, they're playing a game or something. Well, they intentionally were, and this was, you had to know what was going on, the dynamics of the youth, and what preacher had preached, okay? Pastor preached about waiting for the perfect one in life. Well, after that, it was like a challenge that they were bucking against what he said, if you would. And they were purposely going to our girls, okay? And I just got fed up with it, all right? And I told that one boy, he was sitting down, I was like, you need to get up and move. And he's like, why? I said, you need to get up and move right now. And he was trying to say all these, and I said, yes, sir. You know, like he would do some children's church kid. Yeah. You know, he thought he was all big and bad. You know, he was somebody. And I said, stand up. And he stood up, and he was still, you know, on his phone or whatever. I was like, go over there and sit down. He's like, what did I do? I said, yes, sir. I said, yes, sir. Like some children's church kid. You think, okay, just say yes, sir, and go sit down. You know? But you know what? Should I have done it? Yes, I should have. I should have slugged him. I should have thrown him in the swimming pool. That's what I should have done. Okay? I was gracious. I was kind. I didn't do that. But you know what it was? Okay, my flesh got the best of me. And sometimes, you know what? You do have to fight. And our pastor, we fight physical battles. We have to go stand for things and stand for what's right. But later on, I got to thinking, you know, that was not... Yes, we had to fight a physical... I say fight. We didn't fight. There was no fight in that young man, okay? He was a stinging wimp. Now, I'm not a big guy, okay? But I'm not scared of, okay, I may get beat up, but they're not going to come out of there unscathed, okay? I don't care how big they are. So I'm not really, you know, whatever. And, you know, watching him back down like that, It's like, really? You don't have any guts at all. But, you know, we don't fight a physical battle. We fight a spiritual battle. And later on, I got thinking, you know, that was an attempt of the devil to discourage or to belay things that was going on in the hearts of our young people. It wasn't necessarily about that young man or about this young man or about this youth group or that youth group. It was a spiritual battle that we were fighting. And I think that youth trip, it made me realize more than, and that there was some other things, and I won't go into it. Like I said, most of you wouldn't believe me. If you've ever fought a spiritual battle, you would believe me. Things that you can't explain. I'm talking weird things. I'm talking weird things. Things you can't explain. Okay? Bro Chad, what are you talking? You're being spooky. It is a little spooky. You get in that situation, it is spooky. But I'm not going to go into that. I just want to encourage everybody here. You know, there was nights we stayed up. I know me and my wife did. I left services because of the... I felt that there was... It was more important for me to go pray about what was happening in that service. And I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I'm the least spiritual person you probably ever... But when the Lord lays it on your heart that, hey, there is some supernatural stuff that's going to happen in this service, you know, it's more important that there's some prayer support, there's some people that are praying about it, than it is that I'm sitting in here listening to this service. When was the last time, I just want to challenge you, when was the last time that you fought a battle on your knees? That you fought for somebody on your knees? When was the last time you fought for your kids or your grandkids? You know, you can get mad at whoever you want to, but what about fighting a battle on your knees? You say, Brother, I can't kneel. Well, sit there and pray. Okay? It was interesting that Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, verse number 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But the next phrase is pretty amazing. But I have prayed for thee. Wouldn't it be awesome to have Jesus pray for you? Pray for you. Wonder what Jesus was praying about in the garden. When he went up there and he prayed, you know, we know that he prayed, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But wonder also if he was praying, Lord, help Peter. Help him to stand for what's right. And all the failings that Peter had in his neglect to honor God in some ways and his impetuousness and his lack of faith and his denial of Christ. I wonder if Jesus, up there on the mountain, one of the things he was praying was, God, help Peter. Help his faith not to fail. And I just want to challenge you this morning. Hey, these young people around here, they're worth fighting for. They're worth fighting for. We got great young people around here. I'm serious. Do they have problems? Yeah. Let me. I wrote this down because I think I'd forget it if I didn't. Sometimes the greatest problems have the greatest potential. The greatest problems have the greatest potential. You know why the devil fights at you? You say, Brother Chad, I can't believe the way they dress. They got a stinking attitude all the time. Well, maybe the devil's fighting them extra hard because he knows they're a Peter. And if they get cut loose and they decide to serve God, they're going to do something great for God. That's why he fights them. You know, I read a story about, this actually came to my mind. There was a sniper over in Vietnam, or there was a general. He was walking along his ranks. It was World War II. It was general. He's walking along his ranks. And every once in a while, they'd hear this real loud crack like a high-powered rifle. And the general, he asked one of the sergeants that was there. He's like, "Is that a sniper?" He's like, "Yeah, he's been shooting all day long. Actually, he's been shooting the last 3 days." And the general said, "Why don't you take him out? But do you know where he's at? Why don't you take him out?" And the sergeant said, "Oh yes, sir. We know exactly where he's at. He's up right up there on that hillside. In fact, he's not even hidden very well. If you watch, you can see him move." And the general said, "Why? You need to take him out. He's going to kill somebody." He's like, well, we don't want to take him out. He hasn't hit anybody yet. We're afraid if we take him out, they'll put somebody in there that can actually shoot. Hey, you know what? The devil knows that there of some of these young people, the devil knows that there's some of them, they're going to be good shooters. And he wants to take them out before they ever get there because he's scared. And you know what? I think my feeling is something I've really worked on, especially since this youth trip, hey, you know, I want to fight the battle. I can't make the decisions for these young people. You can't make the decisions for these young people. But you can influence them through your prayers to make the right decisions. You can. I'm serious. There are spiritual battles that are raging. They're raging today. You don't see them and I don't see them. But if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, the Lord will show you the young people that you need to pray for, that you need to undergird in prayer because they need you. I need you. What did Paul say? What did Paul say after that? He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints. Then the next verse he said, and for me, that I may be bold to preach the gospel. Hey, pastor needs you. Pastor fights the physical battles, and he fights the spiritual battles. But he needs an army that are backing him up, fighting a spiritual battle. These young people, hey, instead of getting mad at them, well, they don't have any desire to serve God. You know what I want? You know, and some, I'm going to be honest with you. My patience is about this with some people. Some things just ride me under my skin. Oh, my goodness. But if I see a young person that I see, they're trying. And there's something. You can see a fight in a young person. You can see that fight. When they're one way one day and another day, another way the next day, and they're the old man and the new man are fighting. That's the young person that you got to pray for because it could be a life-changing time in their life. Hey, you know, today could be a life-changing time in one of those young people's lives. That youth conference could have been a life-changing. And I'm not even talking, I don't even know who got up here and gave testimonies. I have no clue. But it could have been a life-changing time in one of their lives. It could have been a life-changing time in one of the ones that sat out there and didn't come up here and give a testimony. But it could have been a one in everybody's life, I think, if we would be more diligent on our knees, fighting a battle for them that my generation doesn't understand. These young people don't understand the spirit. I'm not even saying that I understand spiritual warfare. But it is real. I think we kind of got a glimpse of it on this youth trip. So I just want to encourage you today. Hey, you, as much as you may think, well, I'm not in the Lord's, I'm in the Lord's army, but I'm kind of sitting in the back. No, you're not. If anything, you're at the very front lines fighting a battle that many times my generation doesn't even see. You're fighting the enemy that will defeat my generation if it's not defeated. And it's not done, you know, politically. It's not done, you know, however you may think physically. It's done on your knees in your prayer closet. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter number 9. Deuteronomy chapter number 9. I really wanted to read this basically whole chapter. I don't have time to read the whole chapter, okay? I encourage you, go this week, read this whole chapter for me, okay? It's not very long. It's only 29 verses. Read this whole chapter for me this week with this thought concept in mind. But Deuteronomy, we're just going to read a few verses. Deuteronomy chapter number 9. Verse number 8, also in Horeb ye provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant, which the Lord made with you, Look at this. Then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water. He fasted. Okay? 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger of God, and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the days of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for the people, for thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make thee of thee a great nation, mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and the two tables of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took the two tables and cast them out of my two hands and break them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time. You know what Moses did here? He interceded for the children of Israel. Was the children of Israel doing what was right? No. Do all these young people do what's right all the time? No. Do I do what's right all the time? No. But he still prayed for him. You know, God told Moses, Moses, let me just wipe him out. I'll take you, and I'm basically going to replace Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. I'm going to replace Abraham's seed. I'm going to make it Moses' seed. That's what he said. I'm going to make of thee a greater and mightier nation. And Moses said, Lord, please. Have mercy. He had just spent 40, I don't know how this works. I don't even know if this is physically possible. He just spent 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Horeb. Fasting, without bread or water. Then it says he came back down and he saw the children. Do you think he was hungry at that point? Yeah. I go 4 hours and I'm hungry, okay? He came back and he spent another 40 days and 40 nights. For a people that later on, you see that they didn't even care for him. But God saved a nation because of one man. I wonder if God would save a youth group because of one lady. Or one man that said, hey, these people are worth fighting for. Though Joshua, is all of the kids going to turn out right? If we could keep every Christian kid that grew up in a Christian family, we wouldn't even have to go soul winning. We can't even keep our own kids. Wonder why. I mean, I don't know, maybe because I failed on my knees. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. They are worth fighting for. But you have to make the decision to fight for them. You have to make a decision, are these kids worth fighting for? Well, I asked the kids on the youth trip. I said, you have to decide in life, what something is worth. What is it worth? What is one of these young people worth to you? What's your kid worth to you? What are they worth? What are you willing to give up so that that young person will be able to succeed? A meal or two? A night of sleep? Oh, I'm just so tired. I can't. Hey, I know older folks. You don't sleep half the night anyway. I'm serious. I wonder what if God does that on purpose because he knows that his soldiers, the most valuable soldiers he's got in his army, fight more at night than they do during the day. Fight more at night because God wakes them up in the middle of the night. You know what I prayed that one night at youth conference? We couldn't sleep and we were praying. I said, God, wake up some of our church people. Wake them up.
Don't let him sleep. Why? Because there was more important things that night than sleep. Was it worth to you, a meal? It was worth 40 days and 40 nights of meals to Moses. What's it worth to you? You know, that's what fasting is. It's giving up a physical thing in order to attain a spiritual thing. Fasting is giving up something physical in order to attain something spiritual. That's what fasting is. Fasting could be a lot of different things, but it's giving up something physical in order to attain something spiritual. It's showing God, I want something bad enough, I'm willing to give this up for it. That's what fasting is. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. We've got to hurry. Matthew 17, verse 14. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Spiritual warfare. Fighting the spiritual. Did you notice what happened to cure this boy? What had to happen to cure this boy? What was cast out of him? A devil. A demon. A spiritual thing that nobody could see. It had to be fought spiritual with spiritual. You can't fight spiritual with carnal. It must be fought spiritual with spiritual. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. When do we do this, Bro Chad? I don't know. Jesus did it early and in solitary. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, this is talking about Jesus, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Find you a place. Get you a picture of all the young people in our church, of our youth group, and pray for them. Pray for them. What is involved, Brother Chad? A cleansing of yourself. A cleansing of yourself. You know, how bad do you want it? Is it bad enough to give up that pet sin? Do you want it bad enough to give up everything and be completely clean? To give up all, I want this so bad, God, I want to give up everything. When you're weakest physically is when you're strongest spiritually. I've heard that before. Why did Moses fast 40 days and 40 nights? I think at the end of that 40 days, he's pretty weak physically. Why was Jesus, when he went up to be tempted of the devil, 40 days and 40 nights, he didn't eat? Because then he was strong spiritually. Cleansing of yourself. James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Of a righteous man availeth much. You know what happened at youth conference? There was some stuff I had to get out of my life. I said, God, I want this for these particular young people so bad, I'm willing to give up. What are you willing to give up? How bad do you want it for these young people? Or are we just going to lay over and surrender? A fasting, we read that, giving up the physical to gain the spiritual. You have to desire or want something bad enough to give up something else. I want these young people to make the right decisions, to marry right and to serve God. You know, you're going to give your heart to these young people. And I want to encourage you about this because I know it's going to happen to me. I know it will. You're going to give so much and fight so hard for these young people. And you're going to give them your heart, a part of your heart. Are all of them going to do what's right? No. So in some ways, your heart's going to be broken. But don't give up on the next generation just because one person broke your heart. Don't become bitter at them just because one person broke your heart. Say, well, I'm going to keep praying for them, but there's another young person right there. There's another Peter. I'm going to pray for him. There's another young lady. I'm going to pray for her. The devil's got a bid out for these young people. Are you willing to pay the price for it? Or is the devil just going to, you know, are you just going to stand there mute as the devil runs the price up and buys them for nothing? Or are you willing to pay a price? Yeah, it takes time. It takes prayer. But this is the group of people that we need to fight this battle. I got thinking this week. You know, I got a couple text messages this week and about Mrs. Vestal passing away and Brother Charles passing away. And, you know, in a way, it was a time of rejoicing. Yeah, you know, I was happy, honestly. But, you know, there is one part of me, probably the one part, is I know those two people fought for me. Brother Charles fought. I know he did. He was like an adopted grandpa to me. Growing up, you know, Mom and Dad did the offering, counting the money with Brother Charles and Miss Ruthie, and we'd always go back there, and, you know, Mr. Ruthie would always give us something. I don't know what it was, a sucker or something. But you know what? We lost prayer warriors. Could they go out and soul win for 4 or 5 hours? No. That's my generation's responsibility. But they fought more battles on their knees. We need another group of people that will do that. Are you going to be will you be one? Let me just ask you that this morning. Will you be one that will fight? I've heard this statement. I don't know. Maybe it's a cliche. Maybe it came from, I don't know where it came from. So if it came from something bad, you know, I just thought it was a really good statement because it kind of rhymes. Make war on the floor. Did you put that on your bulletin board? That's where I saw it. Make war on the floor. That's a pretty neat statement. Make war on the floor. Fight a battle that these young people, I guarantee you that these young people, and I guarantee you I do not have the prayer life that I ought to have. We get so busy. Prayer seems like a far-fetched, you know, thing we do before we eat. But you that have lived the life know that prayer is a weapon that you can fight with. So I want to challenge you this morning. We got to be done. Make war on the floor. These young people are worth fighting for. Pick some of them. Pick one or two of them. I've got people in here. You pray for me. I couldn't stand up here today without you praying for me. I'm just a nobody farm boy, dumb farm boy. But people prayed for me. Pick some of these other young people. Every generation has to have people that are going to fight for them. And I'm just encouraging you tonight, fight for them through your prayers. Build a relationship with them. Know their names. You know, instead of just being, well, they should dress better. Well, maybe the devil's fighting them real hard in that area. So pray for them. Instead of getting mad at them, pray for them. And you'll find your heart change. Every person I've ever prayed for, my heart changes towards that person. Every person. You can't pray for somebody and your heart still be bitter and hard against them. Well, they didn't treat me right. Pray for them. Pray for them. Make war on the floor. Fight the battle. We lost some this week. Lost some soldiers. And if you're not in the fight, and I just want to encourage you, fight. Get in the fight. Well, I can't do as much as I can. You can do more than what you were ever able to do before. More. But it's going to cost. Be willing to pay the price. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I'm sorry. I don't feel like I did a good job presenting this morning. I pray that you just help us. Help me, God. I got a picture of all the young people that went on our youth trip. And Lord, I pray for him every day, several times a day. Lord, I wanted my life to be clean so that there's nothing that would prohibit you from working in my life or their lives. Lord, you know I pray for the folks in here. I don't necessarily pray for them every day, and you know that, but I do pray for them. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, they fight battles that we as younger people don't fight. They fight a physical battle that, as far as health, that we don't fight. But Lord, they can battle in ways that we cannot battle if they'll just get on their knees and pray. Pray that you help us be better prayer warriors for you. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Help the service this morning. God, I pray that it would be encapsulated in the prayers of these saints of God. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.